Today we're going to look at the section on the role of children in the home. Not the whole role, of course, but just the principle that he speaks of here in Ephesians 6, the opening verses. We've discussed the roles of the husband and the wife, very important, and the beautiful pattern that there is, the model that the Christian family has in the relationship of Christ and the church. And when we think of this, we think of a Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. We think also of the fact that the church is to be submissive to the Lord and to respect him and to honor him. And he says that is to be the relationship of the wife toward her husband. And now we come to the matter of children. Verse 1 of Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nourish them in the chastening or training and admonition of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, 1-4. Now he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. As Christians, we believe in moral absolutes. We live in a world where everything is viewed as being relative. And so we speak of situation ethics. And people will say, well, it used to be right, for example, for a couple to get married legally before they lived together. But today, it's different. Today, many young people just live together, and then they decide later on whether they wish to marry legally. And they may call it off and say, well, we don't think we're suited for one another. Or that relationship may go on for many years. And people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that's the way it is. And, you know, times change, and people change, and attitudes change, and we're different, you know, now than we used to be. And it's okay now. Didn't used to be, but now it's all right. Is that what God says? God's word says there are things that are right and things that are wrong. Things that are eternally right. And there are things that will forever be wrong. And the Bible spells out these things. And really, most civilizations and most cultures that continue for a while discover that these principles in the Word of God really work. And that marriage, where a husband and wife are committed to one another and stay together and raise their children, really, this makes for a healthy society and a happy society. And this other thing where people are living worse than many animals do, does not produce happiness for the individual or for society. God's ways are best. I like what he says in Deuteronomy, where God says, I commanded you these things for your good always. Thank God. When I read his word, and I read these instructions for me, these guidelines for me, I can know that now I'm not just experimenting, but I've got some absolute guidelines that will produce happiness in my life and be for my good if I follow them. God's character and God's authority back them up. And here he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. He doesn't say it's a cultural thing to do. He doesn't say do it because most people are doing it. He just says it's right. This is the right thing to do. And it will produce happiness if you do it. Now, when we think of the commandment that he quotes, honor your father and mother, he says it's the first commandment with promise. In other words, the first commandment with a specific promise to men, if you obey it, you'll know blessing, because the promise is you live long on the earth. And so it is the first commandment dealing with our relationships with other human beings, and it's one with promise. And it's very important. I think our relationship here, the attitude of children toward parents, is very basic and very important in their relationship with all of society in their relationships with other people later on. And the attitude should be that of obedience and honor. Now, let me suggest that when he says honor, involved in this, first of all, there is respect. This should be the attitude. And then the action should be one of obedience. Respect your parents. Why should I respect my parents? And that's the attitude of many young people today, I'm afraid. Some say, well, why should I respect them? Why should I give them any place? And their attitude is, they've never done anything for me. And you can have a very selfish, defiant attitude when you're in your teens. Why should we respect our parents? Well, because they're wiser. They're older, if for no other reason. And they've lived longer. And hopefully they've learned a few lessons. Hopefully they know a little more than the young person does, the child does, about living. Hopefully they haven't lived for those 20, 30, 40 years and learned nothing, absolutely nothing. Respect them for their age, for their wisdom, for their experience. Respect them, too, because they've given you life. Under the hand of God, they've given you life. You owe your existence to your mother and father. And because of this, there should be a deep sense of respect. This was the channel by which God brought me into being. And I should have a deep respect for them for this. And so, beside this, as I think of the way they cared for me when I was helpless and when I was unable to do for myself, I should certainly then give them respect and look up to them, defer to them, show concern for them. This is something that should mark me as I grow up, as I'm a child, in my attitude toward my parents. Respect them. And so he emphasizes here, this should be the attitude of the child toward his parents. And then following that, obedience. Now, of course, again, we say that this obedience should be conditioned by the word of God, but it isn't very often today, or it has been in any day, that parents ask children to do that which is lawless or really contrary to the word of God. But here again, their highest authority, if a child comes to know the Lord, for example, wants to please him, then the highest authority is God's will. And if you're asked to do something contrary to the word of God, if you're asked to sin, if you're asked to do something by your parents that is defiant of the word of God, then, of course, there has to be that concern to please him. And I think a child then would go to his parents and say, listen, I've accepted the Lord and I'm concerned to please him, and this is what I see in the word of God, and in this case, would you allow me, to do something else? But the attitude, basically, to be that of submission. Jesus himself gave us an example, didn't he? After, for example, they went down to Jerusalem and they found him there. He'd been missing a few days, and they brought him back. It says that Jesus was subject to them. He was with his parents, with his stepfather Joseph, and with Mary, his mother, and he was submissive. He was subject to them. Now, he was perfect. He was sinless. And they were sinners. They were not perfect. But they were those functioning in his role as parents, and he took a submissive, obedient attitude toward them. That was the pattern of his life, and it's a pattern today for children. And the reward of a submissive spirit is a long life. The child, for example, who tends to be rebellious, who's defiant, who goes his own way, who may, for example, go into heavy drinking, becomes an alcoholic, shortens his life. There have been many mothers, many fathers pleaded with their children, for example, to quit drinking or to quit drug use. And this was persisted in. And it shortens life. It really shortens life. The alcoholic, for example, has a life, an average lifespan of maybe 51 years as compared to around 70 for someone who's not a heavy drinker. And in various ways, the child who rebels, who defies, who goes against the counsel of his parents is going to, if he persists in that, is going to shorten his life. And so the promise here is for an obedient life, a submissive life to the Word of God, tends to lead toward a longer life, toward longevity. Now, of course, there isn't an absolute promise that in every case this will be true. There may be illness, there may be something come in, but it's a general principle. And certainly here the exhortation is obey your parents, and it'll produce happiness, it'll produce a longer life, it'll spare you from a lot of hurts and wounds and heartaches. I have known of young people to say, oh, if I'd listened to my parents, if I'd done what they said, and then they knew the heartache of disobedience. Now, there's a caution for fathers here as well. Don't be harsh, he says. Don't exasperate them. Don't provoke them. And this is a caution for fathers. Don't expect too much. Don't expect adult behavior of your children. We can fail in this area, can't we? We get too impatient with their childish mistakes and their childish failures. Be slow to criticize. Be quick to praise. Again, here we need to watch this. They say that it takes three words of appreciation to undo the trauma that's caused by one word of criticism. So if we can just encourage, if we can appreciate, if we can express our appreciation to our children more, this will be tremendously helpful to them. And it will encourage confidence and cause them to grow and to become the persons they should. And teach the word. Teach the word. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 3, from a childhood you've known the sacred scriptures which were able to make you wise unto salvation. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The head of the home is to teach the word, to teach the children. He says in Deuteronomy 6, teach the word to your children and just saturate their lives in the moral principles and the teaching of God's word. And love your children. So, children, obey your parents. And fathers, you too. Here we need, don't we, as fathers, the grace that the Lord can give and the patience to be the fathers we ought to be.